O God, be pleasing in your sight. Amen. When I was a little boy, we used to get these, and you probably remember these as well. I think it was Hallmark or some card company would put out these kind of booklets of short stories around Christmas time. And back where we lived in Pakistan, there was no Christmas specials, no movies that would come on. And so we would read these every Christmas. And I remember one of them was just a little short story that was about a young boy who was with his father, and they had been shopping all day long on Christmas Eve. And he was tired. And him and his dad were walking home in the snow, and it was snowing very hard, and he was cold, and the packages were heavy, and his legs were just tired. And the father and the son, they walked past this homeless man who's sitting by the side of the road just holding his coffee. And the father notices the young boy, notice this man. And so the father stops, and he takes out $5, and he says to the young boy, he says, "Give this to that man in the name of Jesus." And so the little boy walked over to the man, and he said, "Sir, I give you this in the name of Jesus." To which the older homeless man replies, "Young sir, I receive it in the name of Jesus." And the whole scene changed for this little boy. He said, "It felt like I was walking on clouds. The packages were no longer heavy to me. And there was a profound warmth in my heart." The warmth of kindness is something that is granted to us in the giving of kindness to others in the name of Jesus and for his sake. This passage is better understood if we understand the larger context, especially of David's relationship with Jonathan. Now, you'll remember that God calls Saul to be the king of Israel because the people demanded that they wanted to be like the nations. Therefore, they wanted a king like the nations. And God in his providence provided to them a king who was like the nations. And they recognized that in Saul, who was not a good king, that they had sinned against God because they had rejected God as king. And you'll remember that God rejects Saul as king and sends forth David to be Samuel to anoint David, the youngest of Jesse's children, to be the next king of Israel. And so we have this unique situation where we have one king, profoundly powerful, and a king in waiting that is not yet known to everybody. And yet, David, the king in waiting, finds a profoundly deep friendship, of deep, deep love with Saul's son, Jonathan, who is the heir. And Jonathan and Saul are knitted in their souls together, the scriptures tell us, to the point that it says that Jonathan and Saul loved each other as they loved themselves. And there's this beautiful relationship. And yet, more and more, Jonathan recognizes that David is going to be king and not him. And as Saul hunts David down, we come to this passage that shows us both the noble character of Jonathan and his love for David. In 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 15 and 17, it says, "David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life." So Saul is chasing David with his army, and with him would have been Jonathan. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph at Horesh. And then notice these verses. "And Jonathan, son of Saul, rose and went to David at Horesh." He left his father and went to the enemy of his father. Jonathan, son of Saul, rose and went to David at Horesh and strengthened his hand in God. Boy, is that a word that we need today. That you and I have the power to actually strengthen somebody else in the name of the Lord. Meaning, it's by God's strength that we strengthen them. And notice what he says. And here's the strength that comes, strengthening his hands in God. Jonathan said to him, "Do not fear. For the hand of Saul my father will not find you." And then he says this, "You shall be king over Israel, and I will be next to you. Saul, my father, also knows this." Here's Jonathan strengthening David by basically saying, "You're going to be king," which means I'm going to die. And I'm okay with that because I love you. Well, at the end of 1 Samuel, that's exactly what happens. Saul and Jonathan are killed in a battle together. And David mourns for both Saul and for his friend Jonathan. And in the mix of all the confusion that happens, another son of Saul rises up and to take the kingdom with Abner, Saul's commander. And what he does is he kills all of his brothers. And in the midst of all of this, a four-year-old boy, Mephibosheth, who we're told is lame, is taken by his nurse, and in flight he falls and he breaks both of his feet. Now, we don't know if he was lame before that and then broke his feet also, or that the lame aspect was because he broke his feet and they didn't set well. But he was lame from that point on. And he was hid by his nursemaid. And that brings us up to this passage currently. And so here's David looking to show kindness to somebody in Saul's house for Jonathan's sake. And he asks one of the servants of Saul, "Is there anyone left?" And to his surprise, Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, is left. And in this passage, we see a glorious modeling of the gospel in how you and I can show kindness, the kindness of God. And may God give each one of us his heart of kindness as reflected here in David. And I want to just connect some applications to this passage as we walk through it. First of all, I ask you to pray that God would grant you a heart of kindness. Meaning to say that God is the one who changes the heart of man. And so that which is in your heart that is at this current time not reflective of the heart of God, through sanctification, God takes that away as we ask him to in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he grants us the fruit of the Spirit as we've been discovering. And that is a reflection of his heart towards us. So ask God to grant you a heart of kindness that longs to express kindness even before the recipient of that kindness is known. Now notice, if you will, in this passage, David desires to offer kindness before he knows Mephibosheth or any of Saul's children are alive. He just has a heart to actually show kindness. He says, "I just want to show kindness. Is there anybody in the house of Saul to which I can show kindness?" In other words, it's not, "Oh, my best friend Jonathan's son is alive. Let me show kindness to him." I.e. that knowing that Mephibosheth was alive struck to him a heart of kindness. No, it was the other way around. He actually says, "Lord, I desire to be kind. Would you grant me the ability and the privilege to show kindness to somebody today?" And I would say to you, pray maybe even each morning. God, would you grant me the desire to show kindness, and then grant me somebody to show that kindness to today? Now, what's that going to mean in our life? What that's going to mean is now we're going to be looking around. We're going to be looking around for those opportunities that God, those doors that God is using to show kindness to others. And so ask God for a desire daily to show kindness. Let it begin at home. Let me show kindness to those that are in my household. Let me show kindness to my wife, to my children, to my husband. Let me show kindness to my family. Let me show kindness in my neighborhood. And the world says, like my daughter will often say, ain't nobody got time for that. Right? Nobody's got time for that. Nobody's got time to look around for people to show kindness to. Well, that's the world. But that's not the people of God. Though we're in the world, we're not to be of the world. And maybe the Lord wants us to slow down and reflect the heart of kindness that He has given us in looking around and saying, who may I show kindness to today? Well, how is such kindness in David's heart? Such kindness is in David's heart because David recognizes that he, before giving, is a recipient of kindness. Throughout the Psalms and in David's story, we see David reflecting on the fact that not only was he from an unknown clan, but he was the youngest of his father, and he was brought out from leading sheep to be the king of Israel, i.e., God, you granted me kindness. You did this for me. And so his heart of kindness is because he has received kindness from God. Are you a person that consistently recognizes on a daily basis the kindness of God towards you? First in salvation, that God was kind in offering you grace and mercy by sending his son to die on the cross for you. And therefore you are transformed and changed and safe because of salvation. But salvation is the kindness of God, as we will see in just a moment. You recognize the kindness of God in his providence towards you, in that which he provides, his protection, in all that he has given and granted you. If you don't, then what you have is yours. It's not actually God's, of which you are a steward. But if you look at all of your circumstances and situations and all that you have as the kindness of God, now you are simply a steward, and God is the master. Therefore, now God can say, use this kindness that I have given you to grant kindness to others. Because you know that I will provide in any time and in any place. Second, I pray that you would ask God for a heart that desires to show kindness to those who are seen as undeserving. Now, why is Mephibosheth undeserving? There is a couple reasons for this, but the first reason is that he is from Saul's house. Now, in antiquity, what would happen is that when one king would take over from another king, what he would do is he would kill all the male heirs in the past king's household right away. That's exactly what Mephibosheth's uncle does in trying to usurp the throne. David doesn't do that. But as Mephibosheth is called before King David, he has been in hiding. And as he comes to the king, notice his posture. He falls on his face and pays homage. He is afraid. I have been found out. I am going to die because what? I am actually an heir to the kingdom. And David the king is now going to kill me. So in the eyes of antiquity and the culture therein, Mephibosheth was an enemy. And yet here, David shows kindness to him. And notice what kindness does. Notice David's first words to him. He says, Mephibosheth, do not be afraid. One of the things that kindness does is it dispels fear. Think of it from salvation's vantage point. God's kindness to us dispels the fear of wrath because that wrath has been taken upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We no longer need to fear because of the kindness of God. Kindness dispels fear. And some of us who are in positions of power, meaning we're bosses or we have people working under us, sometimes they come to us and maybe they're in fear because they don't know what they're going to get. Mephibosheth was in fear because he was an enemy, and yet he gets exactly the opposite. He gets kindness that's reflected in mercy and grace. The kindness of God is reflected likewise. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. In other words, we deserve the wrath of God. We deserve hell for our sin. We don't get it. That's mercy. And the reason we don't get it is because of Christ Jesus. The second part is grace. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Meaning, it's not simply enough in the economy of God to say, I forgive you of your sins. God goes, but I'm going to lavish on you my grace. And so not only do we just go, you're pardoned, have a happy life. He goes, no, I'm going to give you so much more. And notice how it's looked at in this passage. David says to him, I am going to restore to you. I'm not going to kill you. Don't be afraid. But I'm going to restore to you all the lands of Saul, the king. And you will sit at my table and eat for the rest of your life. I will not kill you, mercy. But I'm going to restore to you the lands of your grandfather. And you will sit at my table, grace. And the same is true for us as well. And as you think about receiving that grace and mercy and kindness of God, dispel fear in others and go beyond it by granting them a grace in providing, in protecting, in blessing. Third, ask God for a heart that is sensitive to the hurting and the afflicted, that you may show them the kindness of God. Mephibosheth was not only a man who was afraid, but he was a man of great weakness, which is reflected in his being lame. He was a man in need, probably barely able to meet his own needs, and one who would have been called abandoned by God because of his lameness. And so David shows him just the opposite. He's a man full of shame, and what kindness does is it not only dispels fear, but it also dispels shame. It invites you to the table and says, come, join me. Be a part of my life. Enter into this. And David became an instrument of God's kindness. Notice that there are a number of places, but what David says is this, allow me to show him God's kindness. That's a wonderful word for us this morning. You know why? Because your kindness, the kindness of the world, Because there are kind people, because they reflect the image of God. But they dispel kindness because there is a limited supply of that. But because we have the kindness of God through the power of the Holy Spirit and the cleansing blood of Christ, we have a kindness that the more we give it away, the more we recognize it in our own life. And so you can freely give away kindness. You can be kind, knowing that in that act of kindness towards another, that the kindness of God will be more and more richly understood in your life. Because what you're giving away is the kindness of God. And the kindness of God is stored in the person of God, who is present everywhere in every place, from that end of the universe to that end of the universe. There's a lot of kindness in his heart. So give it away, so that you can enjoy and see the fullness of the kindness of God towards you and others as well. So ask yourself, do you see yourself, Christian, as a dispenser of the kindness of God? See, we're not called to be kind so that we look good. That's how the world sees kindness. We're to be dispensers of the kindness of God. It's not ours. It's a reflection of him. And when we show the kindness of God, what people see through us is Jesus Christ. And they are drawn to him and not to us. And then finally, ask God to show you, to grant you a heart that shows kindness for the sake of another. Notice what David says here. The kindness is of God, but he says, I want to grant kindness for the sake of Jonathan. He says that two times in this passage. So his motivation is the friendship that he had with Jonathan, the covenant he had with Jonathan that he had made. And he wants to fulfill that now. And he says, I grant kindness for the sake of Jonathan. And from the passage that we had already read earlier, Jonathan had shown profound kindness to David. So as you think about offering kindness for the sake of another, what I'm not asking you to do is to say, show kindness for the sake of another person necessarily, though that might be okay as well. I remember going back to Pakistan and meeting my father's friends who showed me profound kindness. But they didn't know me because the last time I saw them, I was a small child. But my parents were now no longer there, but they showed me kindness because of the relationship they had with them. And it was profound kindness for that relationship reason. But for the sake of another that I'm talking about here is that we're to show kindness for the sake of and in the name of Jesus. We show kindness for Jesus' sake. That in the showing of kindness that the kingdom of God comes and is reflected towards another. And if they be a non-believer, that they would be drawn to Jesus. That act of kindness would open a door to be able to speak the truth of the gospel that is at the very heart of kindness. And so, as you do your acts of kindness, do them in the name of Jesus. I give you this in Jesus' name. As you receive acts of kindness, do so, receiving them in Jesus' name, so that in all things, Christ might be exalted, glorified, and recognized in that. Because ultimately, that kindness first came to you and I. See, brothers and sisters, this passage isn't simply about teaching us how to do kindness. is actually a reflection of the heart of God towards us. In essence, it's a picture of the gospel. Titus chapter 3 reads like this: "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared." So kindness is just a word there. For when the goodness and the loving kindness of God appeared, he was a person, saved us, not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Christ Jesus our Savior, so that we, being justified by his grace, might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. See, brothers and sisters, as we come to the table of the Lord, there was another son of David who would arise and leave his throne to seek out sinful, shameful, undeserving sons of Adam, to show them the kindness of God. And he would sit at a table and he would invite the sons of Adam to come to the table. To the table that shows us the greatness of God's kindness to make the sons of Adam the children of God. His table would point to his sacrifice. It would dispel fear. It dispels shame forever. And we, like Mephibosheth, are restored to relationship. We're given an inheritance. We're invited to feast, not only at this table, which is reflective of our need, but it's also reflective of the table that we will sit at forever and ever at the Lamb's wedding feast. So this morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, I invite you to come to the table to feast on the kindness of God, that is only in the Son, in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, given for you. Bobby and Susie are going to come up in just a moment, but I invite you to come and taste of the kindness of God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's pray. Father, prepare for us now to come with expectant and joyful hearts to receive kindness. And as will be sung, thank you, Jesus, that you didn't simply ask if there was some that you could show kindness. You came to seek and save them. And your kindness is reflected in your sacrifice. I pray that in this moment you would change us, humble us, draw us close to your heart. For those that are in fear, would you dispel that fear? As Ken sang, do not be afraid. For those that are covered with shame, I pray that you would cover them with the robe of righteousness and dispel their shame. And help us in coming to the table to see the fullness of the storehouse of the kindness of God, and change us that we may grant that kindness to others who oftentimes are not deserving, but yet are desperately needy of it. And help us to be like Christ towards one another and towards the world around us that desperately needs to see the kindness of God in Jesus. Amen.